a new head coach and boy genius Mike McDaniel, the fastest cheetah to ever roam the football field, and an actual left tackle? Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up. Before we jump into a fresh episode of Finsider Radio, Jake and Josh want you to please, please, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't yet. Subscribing to the show is the best way to know when Jake and Josh have something cooking in the kitchen. iTunes, Spotify, it doesn't matter. Following helps others find the show, and we want to thank you for that. Now, let's talk some Dolphins. Clock has been stuck at 0-0-0 for 48 hours, and I am still over here smiling like an idiot. Welcome into Finsider Radio. This is the Jake and Josh Show, and I'm not sure if we can feel that magic resonating from Sunday's win, or that's just my co-host, Joshua Houts. Josh, holy moly, what happened on Sunday?
Jake, it's been 48 hours, and I still don't know exactly what happened, but I mean, this was just an awesome performance, an awesome game, and you know, at some point, it felt like it was the same old Dolphins, and they proved us wrong, so glad to be back on here, glad to be able to talk Dolphins football with you. How have you been, man? How have these last 48 hours been for you? Because, again, this has been an epic victory, and it's been very special.
I owe a huge apology to my dad, first and foremost. I don't know if it's just the generation gap, but, you know, we're sitting there on Sunday. And it's Tuesday. Everybody knows what happened at this point. And, you know, Miami scores on their opening drive to get on the board. I think it makes it 14-21 at the time. Sorry, this is all coming off the cuff. But every single time the Dolphins scored in that second half, my dad was just doing the math. He's like, well, if we score now, we force it. And I whole time I was just brushing him off. Like, yeah, okay. Okay, Lamar Jackson just ran for an 80-yard touchdown run, and you're telling me how we're going to win this game. Okay, but man, oh my God. The Dolphins snap a 711 run of teams that are just out in front by 21 points in the fourth quarter. What an incredible, incredible tale, Josh, that we got to see on Sunday.
Yeah, man, it's funny you say that because I was sitting there. I think I was talking to the voices in my head. I think I sent my family upstairs. It was just me. I took my Tua jersey off. I was all superstitious. But it just seemed like one of those days where, you know, the Dolphins were going to find a way, right? I mean, you're saying about how your dad sat there and did the math. But, oh, my God, man, I cannot believe the Dolphins ended up rallying behind, coming back in this game. And we have to talk about Tua Tagovailoa's performance because he just played absolutely incredible, for being honest.
Josh, it was an outstanding day from the entire offense. I think Tua actually leads the league right now in passing yards with 739. He's
just
first
like we,
in touchdowns.
Just like we
with
expected,
seven.
Right? Just like we drew up at the beginning of the year.
I think his over-under on the year was like 4,000 passing yards. He's going to blow by that at this rate, dude. It's absolutely insane. I mean, this offensive performance, initial reaction, I mean, you see that touchdown pass to Jaylen Waddle, and two things came into my head, Josh, and this is what I think makes this Dolphins team so special, and it's week two. It is week two. We could be coming back here in 3 weeks and looking like fools, but these 2 points are why I think it's different. One, Josh, the Dolphins scored their fourth touchdown of the fourth quarter, with 14 seconds left on the clock. Over the years, I've talked myself into so many different Dolphin teams. I talked myself into Ryan Tannehill being the guy after he lost to Denver and quote-unquote kept up with Peyton Manning. My favorite Dolphins jersey is a Jay Cutler one. The Dolphins did nothing with Jay Cutler. It's a freaking joke. This year, what we saw on Sunday changed everything. The Dolphins scored their fourth touchdown of the fourth quarter with 14 seconds left. Lamar Jackson had two plays. Lamar Jackson, the same guy, everybody was posting gifts all over Twitter about where's my money, which deservingly so. Lamar Jackson, man, that guy's freaking incredible. But you score your fourth touchdown of the fourth quarter with 14 seconds left to put away the game. That is something I have never seen before in my entire life. In my world, the Dolphins are used to, you know, scoring. There's a 130 left on the clock. There's 50 seconds left on the clock, and that's more than enough time for Tom Brady. That's more than enough time for Aaron Rodgers to come down and rip our hearts out. The fact the Dolphins were that team, the fact the Dolphins showed they were not too big for any sort of moment. Again, it's week two, I understand. But the fact that we have a rookie head coach, you see what's happening with Nathaniel Hackett. You see this, some of the struggles other rookie head coaches around the league are having. Matt Eberflus, Justin Fields, I think, threw the ball 11 times this week. Mike McDaniel did not flinch. That is completely new. This team feels completely different. And to me, that is why right there.
Yeah, and it's funny because McDaniel talked about during his press conference, you know, how he told his team that he wants to see them overcome some sort of adversity. You know, adversity is opportunity. Yes. Dude, he never in his wildest dreams thought they'd go down 28-7 at the half. And I mean, at the beginning of this thing, Jake, it just felt like that's so Dolphins, right? The very first kickoff is taken to the house and you're just sitting there like, son of a, is this going to be, you know, what we're, you know, we were so high off last week's win. Is this really how this game's going to go? And every time the Dolphins seemed to do something, Baltimore had an answer. It wasn't until, I think you said it was an 79 yard run yeah. from Lamar Jackson. At that point, you know, the Dolphins kind of latched down defensively. They came out in that second half and dude, you mentioned how you never saw this. I know you're young, but, and I live in Pennsylvania, so I didn't get to truly understand Marino's greatness, didn't truly get to watch all those games. But, dude, that's exactly what this felt like. You know, the Marx brothers, Mark Clayton, Mark Duper, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Dan Marino. I know people are going to be upset. Boomers are getting mad right now. Dan Marino, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, he went out there, man, and he was just picking apart that secondary. And, again, they were banged up. Marcus Peters was banged up. Some of those other guys.
Yeah. Those shoulder pads are on. There are no excuses. Yeah,
those shoulder pads were on. He was out there. He was in single coverage. And I mean, it just seemed like every time the Dolphins touched the football, they were going to make a big play happen. And I don't know, man. Tua just looked more confident out there. He just was seeing things better and he was anticipating some of those throws. I mean, you saw some of the, there was a video going around, you know, 10 plus yard passes in this game. I mean, he is anticipating some of those windows when the receiver is, you know, behind a defender. It is just everything that we've expected. Again, it's week two, you know, temper expectations, but dude, this was the type of performance you want to see out of Tua Tagovailoa. This was the type of performance that Dolphin fans have been clamoring for, you know, since Tank for Two and all this. And yes, I said it at one point, you know, we all had doubt at some point over the last 3 years. I mean, your freaking head coach that you just had wanted a sexual predator. You know, I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm a diehard Tua guy, but at some point you just think, okay, maybe I was wrong and these guys see something that we can't see. But dude, he went out there, put it on the line, completed 36 of 50 passes for 469 yards and 6 touchdowns. Again, he had those 2 interceptions. Some of those you sat there and said, come on, Tua, why'd you throw that ball? I mean, typical Tua fashion, but when you can go out there and throw 6 touchdowns, overcome that. I mean, I don't know at what point I thought we'd again see this offense, see this type of explosiveness, but when you had a rookie head coach, when you thought that this offense was going to take some time coming out of the gates, to see this happen against Baltimore again, back against the wall, 35-14, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, man. You could not have asked for a better performance out of Tua Tagovailoa, at least in that second half.
I think I'm becoming like a third down guy, because I feel like that's one of the first stats I always look at is third downs, Josh.
They were so good.
7 from 11 on third down. And Josh, I want to go through most of these third downs ended up being touchdowns. So I think this is probably a fun way to go through this. 3rd and 13 from the Baltimore 14-yard line. I want to preface this by saying I see a boatload of people on Twitter saying Mike Gesicki and spelling it like I have a hardcore Boston accent. I feel like I'm being attacked on that. I'm okay. I'll happily laugh at myself. But everyone's saying like, no, we can no longer trade Gesicki and put it like that. Dude, I don't think once I was ever pro trading Mike Gesicki. But man, this play, if you want to see what a volleyball player looks like in the NFL, this snag by Mike Gesicki was absolutely incredible. This guy almost hit his head on the goalpost because he was going above that rim to friggin' swat down a spike. Josh, how refreshing is it to see, despite his boomerish touchdown celebrations, a happy Mike Gesicki is a happy fan base. I don't know if there's a more simple, you know, algorithm than that.
No, man. And I mean, again, we weren't pro Trey Mike Gesicki. We just felt like maybe he was going to just not fit in this offense. But you saw when they game planned him, when they got him out there and let him be kind of that receiver. I even wrote down he wasn't terrible at blocking. There were some plays to Mostert. I still don't know which way is the right way. There were some plays where you saw Mike Gesicki out in front making blocks. But, dude, this might have been the best throw I've seen from Tua. It was 3rd and 13. I think they rushed 2, dropped 9 in coverage, and you just saw the post open up. And I don't know if it was because all the defensive backs were too concerned with Tyreek Hill at the goal line. I mean, he kind of curled around, and there were 3 guys on him that gave that 1 second. But Tua put that ball where only Mike Gesicki could make it. He made a hell of a toe tap grab. And again, I don't know how I cannot be a fanboy talking about this, because that was just a hell of a throw. He seated that thing in there, and Mike Gesicki to go up there, like you said, damn near hit his head on the goalpost and come down with that grab. As cliche as it sounds, that's pretty much what turned the game, right? I mean, at that point on, you kind of felt that momentum swing, and it was just all the Tua Tagovailoa show from there.
And too, like, it's an interesting case study on this play is exactly what people mean when they say Mike Gesicki doesn't fit the offense. Like, the Dolphins aren't asking for this every play, right? This is such a situational opportunity where you can throw it so far up in the air, know somebody's not going to be behind you, and put it only where your tight end can get it. So for all the hype, I'm still interested to see how there are going to be different ways to utilize Gesicki's strengths, because I think there was a rollout, I think, Josh, in the first half where he threw it to Gesicki on the run. He maybe got like a 5-yard gain, but he was tackled from behind, right? So you're still not really using his talent where, you know, he can sky high and catch all these balls. So I think that's going to be one of the interesting develops in terms of, yes, we can get him involved and we can have him catch these 4, 5, 6, 7 yard receptions, but we're going to start complaining that that's not the effective offense. You know, those aren't the plays that create 7 for 11 on third down opportunities. So I think that's an interesting challenge for Mike McDaniel, and I'm ready for him to be up for it. Josh, 3rd and goal from the Baltimore 2-yard line. The Miami Dolphins go back to their favorite body of water in River Craycraft. Josh, I think the best part about this play, you got a little bit of a little taste of Madden here with that nifty B button spin.
Yeah, well, I was going to say circle. I can't be saying B, but it did feel like you just took your wet clothes and put it into the dryer and just watched that thing go in a circle, right? I mean, he knew exactly where that defender was coming in. He pulled off that nifty spin move, and then credit to River Craycraft. You know, he was on the other side. He ran a little whip route, and he came all the way across the field to get into Tua Tagovailoa's vision, and Tua just put that ball right on the money. I mean, again, he was wide open after he came across the field, but that was a hell of a play on 3rd and 2, and that nifty spin move was kind of what did it. But Jake, we like the Gesicki touchdown. We like the one to Craycraft, but nothing got us more excited than on 3rd and 10 from the Baltimore 48 when Tua Tagovailoa hit Tyreek Hill for a 48-yard touchdown. Marcus Peters, he thought he had Kyle Hamilton in coverage behind him. He seemed worried about Jalen Waddle underneath, but Tua put that ball there. I know a lot of people are saying it was underthrown, this and that. You got one of the fastest, if not the fastest players in football. Get over if he has to stop for a second. I mean, he had to do the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. Tua put the ball right where he needed to, and that was the big play that, you know, we've been waiting for. We were expecting since preseason. You know, we heard about in training camp. That was just a game-changing play, and it just I mean, I got up and I was just punching air, swinging, screaming. Tears might have been rolling down my eyes. I did not know how to handle myself, because at that point it was what? 35-28. I'm trying to do the math here. Is that what the score was at that point? Okay, so I was good with math. But, dude, that was a hell of a play, and you just saw Tua. I think he even felt the pressure coming off the one side, stepped over slightly to the left or to the right, and then just heaved it up. And, again, you couldn't ask for more. Tyreek Hill put on the Jets, scored a touchdown, and Dolphins, man. That explosive offense that we continue to dream up in our dreams, you know, imagine when you're daydreaming throughout the day. I mean, we saw it on full display this Sunday.
So one of my favorite questions, Josh, and you know this, is for me to just simply ask, okay, but what's different, right? What's different about this team? Josh, this is a situation. 3rd and 10. How many years did we spend watching Jarvis Landry get tackled 2 yards before the sticks because opposing defenses know where the sticks are? They're trying to prevent you from getting a first down. And breaking news, they all know Tyreek Hill's really fast. What is happening here isn't blown coverages, Josh. It's the fact that this is a defense that's playing the sticks. They're trying to keep the play in front of them. They're trying to get Miami Dolphins to punt. So when a defender, someone in the secondary, is playing those sticks and is a little flat-footed, dude, Tyreek Hill's just going to blow right by you. And I think that's just such an important note to make, that third and 10, Mike McDaniel wasn't necessarily looking at just, hey, let's get the sticks and keep moving. You know what the defense is trying to stop you to do. So you could just go over the head of that, man. This was such a fun sight to see. And I got to ask you, did you hear the name of this play?
Was it the play? Is that what it was called? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear.
That might be beef, but yes. I think it was the Peter King. He wrote about it, that it was called the effort play. Three receivers on the left, Tyreek Hill on the right. And to me, man, it's just really, it's really, really special. And I can't say this enough. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett, he's struggling to make basic plays. He's calling a timeout because there isn't a kick returner on the field on punts. And the fact that, you know, this was a play, I think it was either Tua or McDaniel were talking about, that it didn't work. This is a play they practiced a lot of times and it didn't work. And Tua came out and said, like, hey, you know, I really like this play. Let's give it a shot. And just the fact they have something in that in their back pocket and it worked and it doesn't have to be a miracle. I mean, I think that is just so impressive in itself, too, that, you know, hey, we can scheme our guys open and we can say F it and let them make a play.
Yeah, it reminds you of the Dan Marino gift that goes around where he's just like, F it, send it in, right? I mean, yeah. It was just funny to read the quote and to hear Tua say, yeah, I mean, he sounded like so naive. Like, yeah, man, I really like that f-it play. Let's try to run that if we ever get down. So perfect timing to call that play. But you're right, man. Those defenders were definitely playing the sticks. Definitely didn't want to give up that first down. But, I mean, when you're looking back at it from our perspective, you just think of all the guys to game plan for. You need to be aware where Tyreek Hill is. But at the same time, I mean, Jalen Waddle's just as explosive. I mentioned how this was a Tua time of Lois show. We have to talk about Tyreek Hill, 11 of 13 targets, 190 yards, two touchdowns. Jalen Waddle, 11 of 19 for 171 yards and two touchdowns. Absolutely unbelievable what they did it. But Jake, it was all well and good. What, 35-28? Is that where we're at right now with the score? Yeah. 35-28. But then the Dolphins on third and six from Miami's 40. Tyreek Hill, a 60-yard touchdown. He was one-on-one with rookie Jalen Armour Davis. He had no safety help. It looked like the Ravens rolled down to the bottom of the screen where there was a bunch formation. Tyreek Hill was at the top wide open and he just, again, didn't look like he had any chance, thought he had safety help, and Tyreek just blew past him. I have a video dropping at 5 o'clock. It said where, how it started and how it's going, and it's from that Tua Tagovailoa touchdown pass from his national championship game and then that Tyreek Hill one, because it just looks like a mirror image of that. But again, we knew Tua had this in him. I mean, a lot of people were speculating whether he could hit that deep ball, but you know, we saw it earlier with Tyreek Hill. We saw it again there. And Tua, you just have to give him credit because he sees something in the defense. I don't know if it's pre-snap, what it is, but he knew where he was going with that football. And again, you just had to love seeing Tyreek Hill throw up the deuces. I think Jalen Waddle was what? Jalen Waddle was about 10 yards behind him, also throwing him up. So giddy, man. Giddy's the best way to explain it. This is a Madden offense, right? I mean, I think it was Tyreek Hill that said he's just going out there. Mike McDaniel's basically calling plays like he's in Madden, getting the ball into his playmaker's hands, and that's just how it seems.
Two parts of that play, man, make me smile so much, and it has nothing to do with the actual play. The Tyreek peace sign, and you can see the second Tua throws it and they start moving the camera down the field, I think Jalen Waddle was going over the flat. He was somewhere over the middle. You see him already celebrating before Tyreek Hill has caught it. And I just had these horrible flashbacks of, you know, we tried this with Jakeem Grant. There were these opportunities. Like, this isn't like rocket science. Like, there's a situation like this. Like, it's possible. The fact that we're seeing it, though, man, is a whole different universe.
It is a whole different universe, and I guess maybe this is what we should come to expect as Dolphin fans. I thought you were going to say at the end of the game, I think Tyreek Hill was doing his presser, and he said, yeah, I saw I was one-on-one coverage, and I kind of said it to it, yee, like I'm open. And I think he even said, like, when Tua hears me say yee, he just knows to get me the ball because that's the type of chemistry we had. So I'm dying just thinking about it. But, man, what a game. And we didn't even talk about the game winner, right? I mean, the Dolphins managed to get the ball back. They managed to get downfield, and with 14 seconds left in the game, Tua Tagovailoa escaped pressure, moved up in the pocket. I mean, a lot of people question what Tua does great, right? It's his accuracy. It's his ability to move around the pocket. It's, you know, throwing receivers open, I guess. But, dude, 7-yard touchdown to Jalen Waddle. It looked like they were trying to do a little pick there with Tyreek Hill underneath, but that didn't work. And then Jalen Waddle, again, Tua escaped pressure, found Jalen Waddle and put the ball where only he could get it. I think the play before that, he also almost hit Jalen Waddle in the back of the end zone. So give me your thoughts on this, man, because when you're a defense game planning for, I mentioned how explosive Tyreek Hill is, Jalen Waddle's just as explosive, man. You got the big dudes like Mike Gesicki. I mean, how do you stop this defense or how do you stop this offense? And I guess the Baltimore Ravens on Tuesday are still trying to figure that out.
Man, It's week two, and I'm going to say something I didn't think was possible. We got to give this offensive line a little bit of credit.
Hell yes.
It's something. It's kind of an awkward scenario where the offensive line hasn't been great for years. And if you watch the Buffalo-Tennessee game the other night, Ryan Tannehill isn't the best quarterback of just maneuvering around pressure and escaping pressure. And what we're seeing out of this offensive line is you have three solid to, we can debate about how high you want to go here, in Teron Armstead, Big Bob Hunt, and Connor Williams. But even, you know, how bad Liam Eichenberg is in terms of PFF, bad, you know, your backup right tackle and Greg Little has been in terms of PFF. These are guys that are giving Tua the chance, right? They aren't seeing these, you know, blindside blitzers just come up and eat him instantly. What you're seeing is an opportunity for him to step up in the pocket, roll out a little bit, attack that open space, and that's a luxury even the Dolphins haven't had in the past. And then just the fact Waddle was able to spin back inside or work his way back inside and Tua just put it up where he could get it, that is kind of an interesting throwback to, you know, we used to yell a lot about how Tua just has to let his guys make a play, right? He has to be more like Ryan Fitzpatrick and just throw it up there. This is more of what we meant by that instead of just the Ryan Fitzpatrick YOLO. He threw it up. It's kind of like the Gesicki play where you have a DB, you know, chasing in pursuit. He's not going to be able to jump that high if he's chasing Waddle. I mean, it's just very smart football. And the fact it worked, the fact it was so clean, I mean, that on top of it, man, is just adds to that magic. I do want to ask you, Josh. I mean, Jalen Waddle had 11 receptions on 19 targets. Tyreek Hill had 11 receptions on 13 or 14 targets. How sustainable is this? I don't think this is something they can do every week, but the fact they showed this and the fact it is possible when you need to do it, you know, utilize these guys to the max. I mean, what were your feelings there? The fact they were able to make two wide receivers eat all game long.
Yeah, man, you mentioned all those targets. I'm looking, Mike Gesicki then was third with four targets. He caught for 41 yards that touchdown. You wonder how much Cedric Wilson, you know, getting knocked out of the game. I think it was a rib injury, you know, changed things. But I think, I don't want to say it's sustainable because 19 targets, that's absurd. You know, 190 right. yards for Tyreek Hill and two touchdowns. But you see that Mike McDaniel knows who his, you know, playmakers are. Tua knows who his playmakers are. And he, again, you mentioned it, he's starting to trust what he sees and make some throws that, you know, he just would not even think of last year. I have to throw this out there. Greg Harvey said teammates to have 150 plus receiving yards, 10 receptions, and two receiving touchdowns in the same game in NFL history. Only Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I think there was then another stat from Cameron Wolf that said Tua Tagovailoa's six touchdowns versus Baltimore tied Dan Marino and Bob Greasy for the most in a Dolphins game in history. His 469 pass yards are fourth most in team history. Only Marino has more. And oh man, I'm just getting goosebumps. But you're so right when you say that none of this would have been possible without that offensive line. Yes, Eichenberg had a 22.8 Pro Football Focus grade. Yes, you know, I was personally a little bit concerned about Connor Williams and his snaps from preseason heading into that week one game. But dude, this offensive line just looks night and day. And I don't know if it's just because we're so used to misery. You know, we're so used to having a bottom five offensive line. But even Greg Little, I mean, we talked about him on the last podcast. Was there going to be that big of a drop off between him and Austin Jackson? I'm sorry, Austin Jackson, but I'm going to say no. I thought Greg Little played well. So you're starting to see the offensive line gain confidence. You're starting to see Tua gain confidence. And again, it was all put out there in that second half. You just hope that the Dolphins can bring it all together, right? I mean, you don't want to have that game, that first half where you're down 28-7. I mean, it almost felt like a game of Madden where, you know, the computer kind of lets up on you, right? Or you get that lead of Madden, the computer just goes crazy and just comes back and does the improbable. I want to see them go out there and put a complete game forth, but that's just nitpicking at this point, man. I just cannot believe the Dolphins went out there 42-38, got that win, first time since 1997. I mean, we can sit here and nitpick here and there, but I mean, it feels damn good to be a Dolphins fan, but you just hope that we don't go into next week overly confident and end up feeling like the same old Dolphins.
Yeah, two things, and we'll jump into a break, and then obviously on the other side, the Tua Fest will continue. One, I mean, Dan Marino in the locker room afterwards even kind of said, you know, hey, it was kind of like I was out there, you know, just the electricity.
He looked like he was crying a little bit, didn't he? He looked like a proud dad in the background, and Tua was like, yeah, that great, great moment.
You know, I don't know how sustainable everything is, and, you know, if this is going to be like a long-term, like franchise-defining play, but the fact we can finally put like a performance in the same category as Dan Marino, and even for Bob Greasy at that matter, another Dolphins Hall of Famer who threw six touchdowns, to me, man, that's just... That's something I'm not used to. I mean, I've been trying to look at Ryan Tannehill's stat boxes sideways for years, trying to get jazzed up. Josh, before we go into break here, Tyreek Hill, 190 receiving yards, the most by a Miami Dolphins pass catcher since 2012. Who was it?
Was it Brandon Marshall? That was going to be my guess. Who was it? I was wrong.
Do I have to revoke your Dolphins Twitter?
Is that too far back? Brian Hartline? What's the answer here, man?
Brian Hartline, baby, Arizona Cardinals. It was the OG Ryan Tannehill Arizona Cardinals game. And two reasons to bring that up. I'm always going to mention Brian Hartline because I think he had 200 and something yards and just a single touchdown, which made it look awkward. But like Ryan Tannehill had his Arizona Cardinals game, this game means we can finally put to rest Miami's game against Arizona 2 years ago that we loved about Tua. This is now the new standard. I love it. I am jacked up. Let's take a break. On the other side, more Tua talk and some defensive concerns. So stay tuned. 5 21 point comebacks since 2000. One of them's Tua Tagovailoa, who now has 3 fourth quarter comebacks in his career. Josh, everything changed in that fourth quarter. Tua was averaging 5.6 air yards through three quarters. The fourth quarter, that absolutely ballooned to 11.1 air yards. And Josh, we have a stat here that kind of hints at, hey, Mike McDaniel made life miserable for these Baltimore Ravens defensive backs on Sunday.
Yeah, man, you have it written down here, and I must have missed this. Baltimore's defensive backs ran 6,131 yards, the most since the start of 2021 via next-gen stats. So, I mean, we mentioned their speed, but when you're trying to trail them all day long, you know, every play, one after another, I mean, that takes a toll. And maybe that's why that secondary was so, I don't want to say deflated, but maybe that's why some of those big plays happened in the fourth quarter when you're chasing out Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill all game long. We do have to mention, and we don't know how long this is going to stay this way, so let's make sure we just talk about it all week long. First in the NFL in passing yards, Tua Tagovailoa with 739 yards. He is also first in the NFL with touchdowns with 7, and I wrote down just like we expected, because of course we expect that heading into the year. Tua has already set a career high with 5 touchdown passes of 10-plus air yards under new head coach Mike McDaniel. He had 4 in each of the first 2 seasons. That's according to Next Gen Stats, and again, it just goes back to how night and day this offense has become, whether it's Mike McDaniel's scheme, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa taking that next step, whether it's bringing in a Tyreek Hill, whatever it might be, it's all coming together. We're already in week 2, and he already has more touchdown passes of 10-plus air yards than we saw last year. And we know how much, you know, critics and haters and, you know, alike would bring up that stat. You know, talk about the A dot, this and that. Tua is moving every, you know, they're starting to move every goalpost trying to find a negative with Tua Tagovailoa. And after that game, it's definitely much harder than, you know, they ever expected.
Josh, my last little question I have for you about the Miami Dolphins offense. Mike McDaniel, I mean, man, I can't say enough how much I enjoy listening to him talk, because I heard someone say this, and I'm so sorry I can't, you know, quote it or give them acknowledgement, but basically the conversation was along the lines of, part of a job being a head coach is to take the conversation off of the game. You know, you don't want the reporters just beating you over the head with questions all the time. And I think Mike McDaniel is such a great job of taking the spotlight off the game and like, hey, you know, our coach said something funny. But one thing he said that really stood out to me is that McDaniel said, I hope Sundays feel different for Tua. And Josh, with that, just a quick 2-part question. One, how do you take that quote? And two, do Sundays feel different for you moving forward?
Man, Sundays feel so much different. I'm probably still going to have that pessimist, you know, side of me, the typical Dolphins fan where, yeah, it is the Bills.
There. Here we go.
Yeah, what I think they won 9 of the last 10, but that's besides me. I think he was basically saying about the confidence, you know, right, going out there and just proving that you can, you know, make a mistake, you know, don't get too down on yourself, go out there and make up for it in the very next play. I think there was even, I think he even quoted something like that, but I absolutely feel different heading into these Sundays, Jake. And I guess it's a lot different than how I felt 2 weeks ago, right? I mean, we all had high hopes for this season. We all thought, you know, this could be a different Dolphins team, but we are seeing it now with our eyes. The last thing I want to say about the offense is Tyreek Hill at the end of the game said that, you know, last week he talked about Mike McDaniel needing a wheelbarrow for his big kahunas. Today, this week, he said that Tua will now need a wheelbarrow for his big kahunas and all the money he's going to make at the end of the year. So that's something that got to stay in the back of our mind, right? You know, Dolphin fans want to pay this quarterback, that quarterback, you know, someone to go out there and give Lamar Jackson a moon. Tua Tagovailoa at the end of this season might be looking to cash in on a payday. And as of right now, you know, he's leading the league in so many statistics that the Dolphins really would have no choice but to grant him this wish.
The ticker is telling us that we got to wrap up soon. So, Josh, I want to run through some defensive things real quick. One, I got to ask you, man, do we have concerns about Nick Needham? He struggled in week one. I think where he was actually the B word in the second half. I think he was benched for Darth Cater. Mike McDaniel said he had a look in his eyes. PFF has Darth Cater as the third ranked CB in coverage over the first 2 weeks. Played 25 snaps on Sunday. So, Josh, Darth Cater stock rising, Nick Needham stock falling, or is it a little more complicated than that?
That's how it looks to me, right? I mean, I love that Mike McDaniel said he just saw something in Darth Cater's eyes that, you know, made him throw him out there. And in the second half, we saw a much different Dolphins secondary, right? I mean, I've written down here, I think Brandon Jones early on was in covering Mark Andrews. They put Eric Rowe on Mark Andrews, and I know he got a stop on a critical third down, made some other plays there. So I love that this is what Mike McDaniel does, right? We talked about how if he came into a situation where he needed to bench an offensive lineman, bench a defensive back, what would he do? He went out there, benched, again, Nick Needham, at least that's how it seemed. And Darth Cater went out there and played pretty well. I do have to mention Byron Jones. I mean, you're starting to see how the secondary looks without him in the lineup. I cannot wait for him to come back and, you know, be a part of that with Xavien Howard, who, man, Xavien Howard, should we talk about that? I mean, Rashad Bateman, I mentioned how he gave me a little bit of concern in this game, but then Merrick talked me out of that. And I said, oh, he's going to be locked down by Xavien Howard. I was 100% wrong on that.
Yeah, Xavien Howard was chasing guys around all day, and actually the same thing is true for Javon Holland. Those two kind of concerned me a little bit. You know, they just couldn't, I mean, it's a lot more complicated than I'm going to say it, but I mean, they could not keep the play in front of them. I mean, we spoke about that time and time again throughout the preview podcast that, hey, you got to keep these guys in front of you. You got to turn these into 15, 20 play drives and force those mistakes. And man, we just didn't see that. We will need to see a big bounce back game for both Howard and Holland. And hey, if we need to ask that from two players, I think those are the two guys I want to ask it from. Josh, to wrap up here, let's give some credit to Miami's front seven. They stop Baltimore at the goal line. There was a huge stop at Miami's 40 late in the game. Trey Flowers, Landon Roberts combined for the tackle. Zach Sealer made a massive stop on third and one to kind of slow up Lamar Jackson. So, man, give your flowers to this front seven because it is turning out to be everything we wanted, and also that bag of chips.
Yeah, and early on, again, it looked like they were struggling and they gave up some big plays, but they bend, don't break, right? I think there's a Zach Sealer. He was mic'd up and he kept saying, you know, bend, don't break. At one point, I think the Ravens almost had a 30-minute drive or something, and the Dolphins ended up stopping them at the goal line on that fourth down. So, you know, just never giving up, just going out there and, you know, taking one play at a time. I mean, I guess that's what Mike McDaniels preached, and that's what we're seeing. I do have to mention Jalen Phillips. He didn't have a sack, didn't really make any splashy plays. But according to Pro Football Focus, again, take it with a grain of salt, him and Zach Sealer were the two highest graded defensive players. So, again, we need to see more out of the Dolphins defense, but you're going against Lamar Jackson. You're going against a pretty explosive offense. I mean, you expected to see some of those big plays, but you definitely need to tighten up. When you head into a huge divisional matchup against the Buffalo Bills, which, Jake, I don't know if you saw, but the Dolphins are 4.5-point home underdogs. The over-under set at 51.5. I think that's one of the highest over and unders that they've seen all season long. And I mentioned earlier, the Bills have won 9 of their last 10. But give me your thoughts, man. I mean, early thoughts. We'll talk to Merrick tomorrow, get his thoughts on this game and turn the book. But 2-0 Dolphins, 2-0 Buffalo Bills, Tua Tagovailoa versus Josh Allen. I think they're both in what, top three in yards. I mean, give me your thoughts, man. Give me your quick thoughts on that game.
I've never seen a heavyweight battle featuring, well, quote unquote, heavyweight battle featuring the Miami Dolphins this early in the year. All I can say is everybody should go and enjoy every piece of content you can about this team. Miami's fifth in ESPN's power ranking. They're flirting around that same number at NFL.com's power ranking. And to kind of close the book here, Josh, don't sweep Jalen Phillips and those stats under the rug, because when you're getting ready to play a team like Buffalo, a team that can beat you if you're going to blitz a boatload of guys, you're going to need to get to Allen with four, or at least disrupt him with four, but also contain him, right? You don't want him running around like a bad man. And to see that Jalen Phillips, hey, if he played well, but the stats don't really, you know, line up with that, that means he was doing a great job containing, filling his role, basically realizing that it's bigger than stats. So that's going to be interesting going into next week. But above all else, man, we just got to enjoy this. I apologize if we've, you know, sounded like little schoolgirls throughout this, because everyone at home, don't lie to yourself. You too sounded like a little schoolgirl when Tyreek Hill threw up that peace sign and tied the game.
Yeah, someone, again, Julia Child or someone, was in here cutting onions, and I was tearing up a little bit because, again, man, you mentioned it. How big of a win have we seen? We haven't seen one of these huge wins in a long time, and now we go out there and take care of the Buffalo Bills, who have been the Achilles heel in their side. But guys, enjoy all the content. Like Jake said, there's lots of experts and analysts eating crow today. They're going to be doing it all week long. Enjoy this victory because they have a huge test this Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. For the Jake and Josh Show, part of SB Nation's Finsider Radio, that's Jake Mendel. You can follow him on Twitter at JMENDEL94. I'm Josh Houts. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We will be back on Thursday with our middle of the week podcast with our good pal, Merrick Brave. But until then, enjoy this victory. And most importantly, fins up.
Fins up. That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.